Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 17th of July, Anno Domini 2010, and you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Dennis Worster.
And at 2 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Yes, Dennis has generously stepped in for Steve, who's one step ahead of the law in a high-speed chase in the Midwest. Well, it's not that high speed.
He's on a trike.
Not a Harley trike like Dave's, but an actual Schwinn trike. It's not so much a chase as a bunch of cops walking alongside of him and asking
hello,
him to
Grandma,
stop.
Grandma could catch up to him and pass him.
He can't hear him because of the baseball cards in the spokes. But that's neither here nor there. That's not important. What is important is that we are all here to bring you a couple of more hours of sound bites, and for some unknown reason, you're actually here to listen. So let's start with our first story.
Do with the news.
The story mm-hmm.
Oh, wait. Before we get into that, sure. I got to thank, again, Rob.
Rob who?
That guy that we work for.
Oh, uh-huh. Rob Linton, everybody.
Thank you. Yeah, Tuesday night, he let me sit in and do, the Tuesday night show, which got shortened because of a school board meeting. But he still let me do at least a half hour.
That was nice.
I didn't have to do any breaks, and I just whipped out what I wanted to play.
I beg your pardon? Oh.
Get your... You're as bad as Steve.
I have no idea what you think you're talking about.
And I wound up just pulling out some music, and I want to thank those folks who took the time to call and say they really liked what I was playing. It was kind of cool because, usually Thursday nights when I do the Thursday night 6-9 shift occasionally, I don't get that many calls. I'll admit it. I'm trying to get more folks to, call in and listen and everything else, but, Matter of fact, I've got a friend. She's just starting to listen.
I'm sure they're listening.
I never told her today. She's listening today, and I never told her it's a computer program.
Yeah.
She thinks she's going to listen to jazz.
Yeah, not so much jazz. Jazz during the breaks, the bumpers are often jazz.
Yeah, some good music there.
Mm-hmm. All right, for those of you who have been hiding under a rock this week, on Friday, Steve Jobs and a bunch of other Apple people who don't really count held a press conference I can tell you what it wasn't. Telling you what it was is a little harder.
Right.
It definitely wasn't an apology.
No.
Kind of. He did say he was deeply sorry, and he did say he'd give everybody a bumper.
Right.
But there wasn't a lot of the humble you expect from an apology. In fact, both Tiger Woods and Jesse James had more humble in their apologies. In fact, at one point, Jobs said, I have no apology. He kept saying that lots of other phones have the exact same problem. I've had lots of other phones. and we have lots of Blackberries at work, and none of them have any sort of problem that even vaguely resembles this one. In point of fact, I took both my Droid and one of my faculty's Blackberries and could not, I held them in every conceivable way. I hunched over them under my desk, which is not a sight you really want to see. I couldn't lose a bar. I could not lose a single bar, but okay, whatever. He also had an annoying tendency not to answer the questions that were being asked. For example, someone asked him if people had to choose between form and function, and he launched into some praise for the Retina screen. My favorite part is when he talks about Apple being an engineering company and they solve problems the way engineers do. Create it, put it out there, and see what breaks. Marvelous.
Well, yeah, there's some of that. Apple, they kind of straddle two distinct sides. They are an engineering company, but they are also what I like to call almost like a technology fashion company.
They're good politicians, though, and the way they come up with creative answers.
Yeah. Jobs also said Apple loves its users so much they built 300 Apple retail stores.
Well,
he failed to mention that no matter how many of the stores you go to, you can't buy more than 2 iPads. Feel the love, baby.
Rob said he'd pay money to see you go under the desk.
Yeah. No, Rob.
Well, when he says he loves users, I think he's leaving part of that out. He loves the users because they happen to bring their wallets with them into the store.
Right.
It's a business.
But two important things did happen. no matter how, what you may feel or think about Apple or Steve Jobs, he did the job he was hired to do.
Right.
He protected his stockholders.
Yeah.
And at the same time, he did something good for the iPhone 4 owners. Free bumpers is the least he could have done. Offering people a refund is actually pretty classy. Limiting it to people who've owned their iPhones for less than 30 days, when he held the press conference on day 22, that's a bit lower class, however.
Well, if you compare it with BP, you know, he's betting a million.
Yeah. There's that.
You got to catch Rob's having fun.
I'm sure he is.
I'm not going to tell you what he asked me.
Good. You can tell me during the break.
Yeah.
See, this is where Dennis wins. You're about to see what happens during the break is way more fun than what happens on the show.
Well, where is that camera anyway?
Well,
yeah, right.
I got the camera, but, you know, with Steve not being here, for you folks that don't know, normally to really, you know, burn out your retinas, we usually do this live, you know.
Ustream,
and you can actually see us, the backside of me and the front side of Nick and Steve.
Not under a desk, though.
Not under a desk. No,
you can't afford to see me under a desk. You can't pay enough.
All right. Well, I'll just have to have a summary when we come
TMI.
Back.
TMI.
Yep.
All right, but before we go, I got to tell you about the poll of the week at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you. Every week we have a poll. This week's poll is, of course, about the Apple press conference, and the question is, how did the Apple press conference affect you? The choices are: I have always had unwavering faith in Apple. Made me feel better about buying my iPhone 4, and I am indifferent. So far, we've got 39 votes overwhelming you, Lee. You are indifferent. But, of course, that's not enough for you. I know. And so when you're done taking the poll, check the little yellow box underneath. Click on Give Us Your Opinion. It will take you to my website, AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
And you can enter our poll, which is, how did you feel about the Apple press conference?
I need more sound effects.
You do need more sound effects. I have a vuvuzela.
Uh-oh.
No.
All right, I'm not looking quite
for that. I've got
a hive of bees. If the vuvuzela fails, we can just play it.
Because that's just as annoying.
I could just wheel it right in.
Right. My favorite are the people who are really tired of the fact that we've had, like, what, three Apple topics in a row. Now you know how the Apple people feel most of the year about the polls.
So, Boss just said, no, I don't.
So
that's no trouble when he listens, you know?
What is his problem? Shouldn't he be off on his yacht somewhere?
No, he's going out to cut the grass. Rob, go cut the grass so we can sit there and talk about you.
Doesn't he have another vacation coming up? Shouldn't there be a cruise somewhere going on? What the heck?
I don't know. What
Rob?
Is that?
Seriously.
I'll tell you the other one that he wants to put off the air.
Yeah, it'll be an off the air comment. You know, you're the station manager, Rob. You're not even supposed to use language like that over I am, for Pete's sake. All right, here's our question for you. How do you feel about the Apple press conference? Tell us what you thought. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. And, of course, toll free, 1-800-790-0415.
He said not until next month.
Don't call until next month? What is wrong with him?
I don't know.
No, I'm sure he means his next vacation.
Right.
He only takes 1 week off a month.
Oh, is that all?
I think he's on the Johnny Carson plan. 1 day off a week, 1 week off a month, 1 month off a year. I'm pretty sure that's his. That was Carson. Carson's contract. 1 day off a week, 1 week off a month, 1 month off a year. Absolutely.
Huh.
Damn.
No kidding?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I would have taken that contract in a hot New York minute.
I always go for the...
On top of that, they paid him millions.
I like to work 24-7. You know, that's 24 hours a week, 7 months a year.
Very, very nice.
That's even better yet.
That is even better yet. All right. So you're an Apple kind of guy, Dennis.
I'm a longtime fan.
We don't hold it against him either.
And what did you think of the press conference?
All right. The press conference itself... I think that anybody that expected Apple to just fall to his knees, anybody that expected Steve Jobs, you know, they're synonymous these days.
Yeah, it's true.
To fall to his knees and just magically start clasping his hands together and say, I'm sorry. That was never going to happen.
Well,
anyway,
like I said,
if you know this guy, he is a true
politician. You think about it, in any of his wordings, it is thought out like any other congressman would do a statement.
Sure.
They're all taught to... Any corporate executive takes their training from, you know, government officials. The best way to answer the question is not answer it, just skirt all the way around it.
The whole thing at first was pretty defensive. You know, he was saying, you know, we're not perfect, our phone isn't perfect, but by the way, everybody else has this problem too.
So get over it.
And here's how we were able to prove to you. And they showed videos. So if you hold the other phones this way, you get these results.
You know, I've seen videos of aliens coming out of UFOs, too. Yeah, so I'm not that impressed by
seeing
videos.
Have you seen any movie in the last 20 years?
Yeah.
So I think it was really a nice gesture that he's offering rubber bumpers to go around the edge so that you're not touching.
Are they rubber baby buggy bumpers?
I don't know. But then
go ahead and say that 10 times.
Yeah, really.
So he says we're going to make those available for iPhone 4 customers. So he's got 3 million iPhones sold in 3 weeks. And he's going to try and roll those out. But he said their manufacturing arm can't produce them that fast. So I'm hoping that he'll give Lance Armstrong a call and see if he can get some of those Livestrong bracelets, maybe.
Which work, by the way.
Yeah.
Two minutes with an X-Acto knife and you've got a bumper for a buck.
And anybody who sends me an email with a self-addressed stamped envelope, I'll send them a What Would Dennis Do bracelet that they can use as a bumper. It's black and blue, just like you've been treated by Apple.
Yeah, but see, in a roundabout...
That's Dennis Werther, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep,
we look forward to your emails.
Sure.
But that's still in a roundabout way admitting that there is something wrong with their phone if they've got to turn around and, you know, hand out free bumpers.
Well, no, he's saying everybody's phone does this, always has, and Apple is the only company that's actually... I know. I'm telling you.
Now, wait a minute. I came from the dark side, as you know.
Yes, Uh-oh. You did.
Yeah, I even got a touch screen phone. And you know, I was against
it. Yeah, welcome to the 20th century, by the way. I'm very impressed.
The tin cans are gone, I know. But, you know...
Let me know when you get rid of your VCR and your fax machine, too.
Are you kidding? He
fax machine? No, I still have...
He is still trying to build a portable teletype.
Okay.
So he can carry it around with him.
No, I still have the fax machine, but the only reason that's hooked up, though, is to send faxes out. I haven't used incoming faxes, and that was one of my biggest things against Vista.
I remember.
Was because Vista was not backwards compatible. I have Windows 7 down on our workbench machine now. It's running the old WinFax Pro version 9. It works fine.
In Windows compatibility mode?
No, it works.
Oh, very nice.
It just works. Just like I'm running QuickBooks 2004. Put it on Windows 7 64-bit.
Yeah, and it works.
It works.
But back to the iPhone thing, I think a lot of the people that were having trouble with that were people that were in what they called marginal service areas. They were kind of at the edge of where you could get decent service. In Rochester here, now I have to say, I'm not an iPhone user. I know. But I am an iPad user, and I'll tell you, that I can tell you I love my wife, and you can tell that I love my wife because I left her on vacation, but I left the iPad with her, and I didn't bring it back. So that, I hope that I score some points there.
Yeah, I hope
and
so, too.
Hello, Kelly.
Is she listening?
She says she is. She's going to try and get the stream over 3G, and if you're out there, Kelly and the kids, I love you and hope to see you very soon.
Yeah, they're all on vacation. He actually drove all the way back here. What is it, 40,000 miles approximately?
Where?
To do the show.
York Haven, Pennsylvania, just south of Harrisburg.
Oh, yeah, yeah, York. I go down to York, Pennsylvania every September.
Sure.
For the Harley Open House.
Yep, York, home of Harley Davidson and York Barbells. And
also coffins. Most of your coffins are made down in York, Pennsylvania.
There's a joke about Harleys and coffins coming from the same town that I won't make.
Okay.
Good.
So altogether,
I love my Harley.
Yeah, I know you do.
I think Steve handled it pretty well. I would have liked to have seen a little bit more. I'm sorry.
This is the other thing.
But it's a product.
Wait a minute. Apple people call him Steve. Microsoft people call him Gates. Have you noticed that it's like everybody knows if Steve Jobs showed up at your door.
Mm-hmm. Ding dong.
You'd give him a key.
You open the door. Yeah. Hi, Steve.
Steve, oh, my God, here's a key.
Hey,
didn't know.
Stay for dinner.
Stay forever. We'll sleep on the floor. You take the bed. It's a cult. It's a cult.
Well, it's at best, it's a club.
it's a cult. You know it's a cult. You have drunk the Kool-Aid.
Well, I try to be fairly objective, and I don't mind saying when I think Apple's released a dog of a product.
And that's, I think, the real problem.
I don't know if the iPhone can truly qualify as that. I think if maybe the problem is that it actually has the word phone in the name. So much of what people use it for has nothing to do with making or receiving a call, and hasn't for a couple of years. That maybe that's maybe that's part of the problem.
Well, and it's not really a dog of a product. Even I don't think so. And I don't own one and probably never will. But it was a horrible design decision to put the antenna bare naked metal where people put their hands. Just in general. Is no one aware of the conductivity of the human skin? I mean, seriously, what kind of engineers don't know that?
Well, the stuff I've been reading says that he was presented with a few different designs and then went on to choose this. And he was advised that various designs had different pros and cons. I don't know how bad the other two were. But
this one doesn't have a screen. We'll just get rid of this one immediately.
Right, yeah. So I can't really say one way or the other, but it looks like they've got a little bit of work to do to figure out what's going wrong and how they're going to fix it, maybe for the next rev or what.
And in Apple's defense, I have to say, I'm sure it really wasn't... I'm sure their Q&A department is actually pretty good, but the problem was whenever they tested these off-campus, they tested them in a case that made it look like a 3G phone.
Right.
So you wouldn't come into the problem because it's in a case. And I'll guarantee you, my theory is, and I haven't heard this anywhere else, my theory is that there's two radios, as you know, inside the iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
Two different frequencies.
Right.
And I'll bet the problem is one frequency and not the other. And the good frequency is what they have on the Apple campus. So when they tested it on the campus, they didn't have the problem. And when they tested it off the campus, it was in a case. Because I have a friend who shuttles back and forth between here and L.A.
Okay.
All the time. He never has a problem here and always has the problem in L.A. Always on his iPhone 4.
For our listeners who are here in Rochester, Nick, do you think that this makes any difference whatsoever? Or have you been hearing anything about iPhone people dropping calls?
Not here in Rochester, which is my point. We must use one of the two radios, and I don't know if we have 3G and they don't or the other way around. Or it's just two different frequencies of 3G. I'm not enough of a radio guy to know how that works.
If you are, call in and let us know.
Yeah, let us know. But we know there's two different radio frequencies in the thing. And what it seems to me is that one of them causes the problem and the other doesn't. Because here he doesn't have the problem and can't make it happen. And there he can barely get, you know, he has a great signal until he puts his hand on the phone. Mm-hmm. Anywhere, pretty much.
Right.
And it starts to go away.
Well, I think these bumpers will help to do that. They're going to take your skin out of contact with the choice they made to wrap the edge of the phone with the antenna. Now, a long time ago, and I'm talking maybe 5 or 8 years ago, it was not uncommon to have the antenna come out the top.
Right. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright. Not Steve Ray. Dennis Werther. I'm looking right at him, and I'm not seeing him. Me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you on the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Got a computer question? Call the boys now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll-free 800-790-0415. Online at soundbites.org. Soundbites continues next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Have you been wanting a Jazz 90.1 long or short sleeve t-shirt, half zip fleece, or hooded sweatshirt? The dark navy color with white logo is good looking and tasteful. And you can find them all at the Jazz 90.1 online store at jazz901.org. Wearing Jazz 90.1 apparel makes it easy to let the world know that jazz is your music and Jazz 90.1 is your station for jazz. There's also a navy Jazz 90.1 baseball cap to complete the look. You know, you might find just exactly what you want when you check out the Jazz 90.1 online store at jazz901.org.
Sound Bites, celebrating 20 years.
Jazz 90.1 is supported in part by our members and by Frontier Communications. Frontier Communications offers high-speed internet with the reliability and support you've come to expect from Frontier. For more information, you can visit www.frontiernet.net.
Gentlemen, for that classy suit, come to Stan Suit Emporium. Custom suits from $29, designer labels, and that signature personal service you expect, but not from Stan himself. Stan passed away last week at 47 from the same disease that got his father, so he won't be around for his family. And sadly, it could have been detected early with a simple test, but Stan didn't get it.
Have you gotten the medical test you need? For a list of tests every man should have, go to ahrq.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Jazz 90.1 is supported by our members and Agape Physical Therapy, with locations in Brockport, Chi-Lai, Gates, and Webster. Agape Physical Therapy offers customized exercise programs for those who suffer with arthritis, back, knee, and neck pain. Each of Agape Physical Therapy's four locations stresses a group approach to treatment and is staffed with a doctor of physical therapy or a McKenzie specialist to ensure the most effective therapy. For more information about Agape Physical Therapy, you may call 637-0790 or visit agapephysicaltherapy.com.
New artist Brooke White talking about radio.
We spent a lot of time particularly listening to the oldies radio station. I grew up really listening to the 60s and 70s and kind of growing this fondness for old music. There's something comforting about listening to the radio and having a DJ.
The place to connect with new audiences every day. Radio. Visit RadioHeardHere.com.
Hello, this is Joelle Van Buren. Join me weekday mornings from 6 till 10 on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Dennis Worster.
And at 23 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. And we have Bear on the line. Bear, where are you calling from?
From Pittsford.
Pittsford. For woodland animal, you speak very good English.
That was good.
Congratulations. What can we do for you, Bear?
Okay, and of course, that's my nickname.
Ah,
yeah,
so I don't have to talk to you in Bear.
And I'm waiting to see the black bear in my front lawn, but I've not seen it yet.
Meanwhile.
Yeah, meanwhile.
What can we do for you?
I run all three OSs at home. I run Windows, and I have Mac, and I also have a Linux box. I'm having a problem with my Mac, and it's on with the wallpaper changer. The wallpaper changer that's built into the OS does not seem to work well at all. If I put it on random, I have like 200 wallpapers that I have it scanned through. Some of them are from art from a good friend of mine in Rochester. And what it does is instead of scanning through the 200, I'll notice, oh, man, there's a repeat that was on there 10 minutes ago. So then what I did with the changer in the OS is I said, well, I'll put it on not random, but sequence it down through. It doesn't sequence down through. It just plain doesn't. It changes it, but it changes it not the way that it's supposed to, either random for the 200 or sequencing down through.
Okay, so it'll in a sequence, it'll show some of them, but not all of them?
What it'll do, it'll sequence incorrectly. So if I have them numbered 1, 2, 3, 4, et cetera, all down through, when 3 is up, I would expect 4 to come next. It does not.
Well, but it does show them all.
And it's so frustrating because it repeats the same picture within the hour, and I have it change every 15 minutes.
Now, I'm sorry, I have to ask this question.
Okay.
And I actually would like an answer for it.
Okay.
When you do it in sequence, does it eventually show all the pictures, or does it only ever show some and never show others?
That's what it does. It never shows others.
Okay. Then what I'm expecting is the format of the picture. Does the wallpaper have to be in a certain format, like it has to be a ping or it has to be a...
Yep, and I understand. All of the pictures are JPEGs. Now, what I did then is, because I've had some other problems with some things in the OS that I figured would work, so I went out and bought separate programs for my Mac, and it fixed it. And that's what I did with the wallpaper changer. I went out to look for maybe something that would just fix the problem. I'm willing to buy it, but I didn't really see anything. On my Windows machine, I use... The WebShots, but WebShots doesn't work with a Mac. So
If you reduce the number of pictures, say, to 6 pictures from, you said you had quite a few.
Yeah, 200.
Right. If you picked your favorite 6 and started there, do you think it would work with just those 6?
I do not know.
Just as a quick test, I would start there.
Okay.
That will tell you if it's related to the number of pictures or if it's related to one of those 6 pictures for some reason not being able to be decoded.
Well, it is possible. I mean, JPEG is a format, but within the format of JPEG, there are multiple subformats. So it may not...
Sure, compression and everything
right,
else.
Right. So it may not accept them at a certain compression level or whatever. Let me make a suggestion.
Okay.
Bear, take as Dennis said, take a bunch of pictures out of that folder.
Yeah, well, I've been doing that. The ones that repeat... What I did is I actually made another folder, and when I saw them repeat, I said, darn it, that thing just did that 10 minutes ago. I brought it over to that folder. As I do that, I've got, out of the 200, like 25 in that folder that's just storing it, and the other ones are doing the same thing.
Right. So what I'm saying is this. If you've got a graphic program that'll show you what type of JPEG it is, right, then you want to take all the other pictures and resave them in that format.
Okay.
Or try saving them in a different format, like PNG or something else. The idea being that clearly it's not recognizing that version of JPEG.
Okay.
So pull all the ones it doesn't recognize out and then save a copy of those back into that folder in a different format and see if it takes that format.
Okay.
You may have to do a little bit of trial and error.
Well, yeah.
But I think you'll get there.
And Macs are easy.
Well, okay. The other thing here, I'll give you an easier solution. If the goal is to try and see if the Mac can display the photo, and your Mac is fairly recent, you can click once on the name of the picture on the computer and hit the space bar, and you'll get what's called a quick look window.
Yeah. When I do the quick look window, and I understand that, it shows them all.
Okay.
They all show right up there. In fact, that's where I go when I want to delete one that keeps repeating.
Well, the next thing I would do is just determine which preferences file is handling that and go into your user folder and then into library and then into preferences and look for something like com.apple.screensaver.plist and delete that, then reset up the settings for that particular folder full of pictures.
It could be settings.
I mean, it's possible. Especially if you say that you can get the pictures to display on the screen in other ways, but it's something about... Is it the desktop or is it the screensaver that's adjusting itself every so often?
Oh, you know what? I've been saying the screensaver, I think. It's the desktop. It's the wallpaper on the desktop.
Right.
The
okay.
screensaver works perfectly.
All right. And are all these pictures in the same folder or are they in a bunch of subfolders?
Nope, they're all in the same folder.
Yeah, all right.
And that folder resides on my desktop.
Hmm.
Yeah, I guess wherever you point to the folder is okay. Theosis in the IRC chat wanted to know
that.
That one's a good question. Beyond that, I don't know what to say, but I agree with Dennis that one of the things that you... Well, I think what you should do is see if you can set just any one of the pictures that you can't normally display... See if you can set it as the background image.
Oh, yeah, just without changing it. Just see if you can statically set that.
I have tried that, actually.
And it doesn't work.
Yes, I can.
Boy,
these are all the wrong answers.
I know. I've worked on this now for about a month.
These must be some really fancy pictures that you're really in love with.
Well, they are.
Good.
Well, good.
Like I say, I have a friend in Rochester who makes some art. And most of them, well, like half of them or maybe a quarter of them, are his. And they are really, really fancy pictures.
Okay.
I honestly, beyond what we've suggested, I'm not entirely sure what to tell you.
Do you know if it may fix this?
For doing the desktop picture?
Yeah, for the scrolling or the changing of the pictures. The automatic changing. Again,
I think on
my Windows machines, I use WebShots, and it just plain works.
What about, I don't know if it'll work, because you're trying to capture stuff on the screen?
No, it's just just trying to change the desktop. Well, in Windows, you'd call it wallpaper.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. On Windows, you call it wallpaper, mm-hmm. and in WebShots, I've signed up for them. I've been with them for years,
mm-hmm.
and it just plain works. And I get the new wallpaper, and it flips over, and I say, "Wow, I never saw that before." Or at least it was 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And if I could get even a third party application, and I've looked for it and I couldn't find that, I'll buy it. But WebShots doesn't work with the Mac.
And you tried Google?
I did. I've been
and
all.
That didn't bring anything up?
What I would do is...
It brought some stuff up, but the stuff was too hokey and out of a...
Okay.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of that, too, and I don't know anything beyond what you already suggested.
What I would do next is head over to applecider.org, which is the local Rochester Mac user group, and check out their forums. And if you can, post your issue there.
Okay, I'll
be
that.
Checking it out later. And we'll see if any of the brainiacs that we have in the... local Mac user group can offer
a
solution.
That's one thing about this show. I mean, we've been doing it for 21 years, and we've got such a great network.
I was 9 when we started, by the way. I didn't know if you knew that. 9. I was 9.
Yeah.
9. Okay. All right, 39.
Okay, and that is one of the great things about the show.
Yep.
And I will be listening for the next hour and a half and see if maybe somebody else calls in with a solution, but I will go to the applecider.org. I've not been there.
Yeah, check it out.
And there is one thing I have to say. Random is not sequential.
Right.
So you will see repeats.
Oh, I understand that, but you shouldn't, out of 200 pictures, you shouldn't notice the same ones all the time after an hour or say, I just saw that an hour ago.
Statistically, that's valid.
Right. Statistically, it is valid. But if you're not able to see most of them ever, then that's a different, and that's the problem we're trying to solve.
Yeah, and I don't think it's that. I don't think, because any of them I can view if I just click on them. But,
right. All right.
It's so frustrating.
We'll figure it out some way.
Tell you what, you know, like you said, just stand back, listen. You know, we can invite everybody to call in 966-5299, 1-800-790-0415. If you've got an answer to it, we'd love to hear from you, other topics.
See, if it was a Windows machine, I'd say there's something wrong with the name.
Yeah.
But that almost never is a problem on a Mac.
No, you can put spaces, underscores, dashes, colons.
You can even leave off the... extension.
The TLA, yep. Yeah. Or extension.
Yeah, extension, yeah. I don't know. That's a lovely problem. That's a very good problem. I don't know the answer.
But we'd love to learn it.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's one thing. You know, we don't, like I say, in the 21, well, coming up on 21 years that we've been doing this, we don't claim to know it all. But, you know, we've got a lot of great folks out there that have from time to time called in and said, oh, I've got the answer because I ran into this problem. We've had that happen a lot.
Right, right, right.
So, because we'll sit there, you know, don't have a clue.
And that's really the problem. We get, and this is one of the things I love about this show is that it's so challenging for us. We often get people who call in with.
What, putting up with Rob?
Well,
see, we can talk about him. He's out cutting the grass.
Right.
I think that's what he wants you to think.
Yeah, right. We get a lot of people who call in with edge questions, you know? It used to be for the longest time it was, you know, what's this big red switch on the side for? But now it's questions that are like, I'm in this one specific circumstance in a program that no one else has ever heard of.
And I hold down these three keys on the keyboard. And
I love that. I do. It's just that we don't often know the answer to those, I'm afraid.
But we'd love to learn it.
Yep, yep, yep. So, and Theosis, you're one for two now. One great idea, one not so great suggestion in the IRC chat. We're not on Ustream today.
Okay.
All right, kiddies. It's that time once again. You know what time it is. Get on your footy jammies, grab a mug of hot cocoa, sit Indian style in a semicircle around the rocking chair, because if we can slap them awake, I'm sorry to tell you this, it's time for Story Hour with Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave?
Oh, yeah.
Uncle Dave!
Yep, yep, yep. You know, we've had to put up with it here in the studio a number of times. Where
Rob?
Yeah, well, him too.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But no, the typical caller to call in, and we're sitting there trying to tell them what the H to do.
Yeah.
Well,
sometimes it happens.
When you sit there and try to argue with idiots, they just beat you with experience.
Yeah, yeah, they drag it under their level and beat your experience.
This past week, I had a client call in. Maybe he wasn't even a client. He called in because, oh, he listened to our show and had a quick question. And you know, as we say, there's no quick question.
Right.
It's the half hour that takes me to answer it. But I'm sitting there. All right, I was in a decent mood, so I figured, oh, what the heck? I'll walk him through it. I'm telling him literally step by step on how to correct this issue. And he's arguing with me about it.
Yep.
Yeah, but what if do you want me to fix it or not?
You called me, guy.
Yeah, exactly. And then he's getting belligerent with me because I'm copying an attitude because he doesn't want to listen to what I'm trying to tell him to do. He wants to go because a friend told him to do it this other way. Well, then go get your friend
call him.
Right, right. I actually asked one guy, because I had a guy at market do that. First, I'm trying to sell coffee. Okay, we have a coffee stand at the public market. Flower City Coffee, best coffee in town.
Oh.
And this is a little while ago, and the guy asked me a quick question. Nobody was around. I normally discourage people asking me computer questions at the market, because I'm actually there to sell coffee.
Well, free question with any coffee purchase.
I told that to one guy one day. He said, can I ask you a question? I said, only if you buy a cup of coffee. He got angry.
You can write the question down on the coffee cup.
Yeah. He actually got angry, and I thought to myself, you're an idiot, and I can't talk to you now. But this guy asked me a question and then started arguing with me about the answer. I finally said, look, I've got customers piling up behind you. If you didn't want to take my advice, why did you ask me the question?
Yeah, exactly.
And he went, well, I wanted to hear what you had to say. Okay, you've heard it. Now move aside and let me sell some coffee.
That's exactly where I was coming. If I was ready to take my head and just bang it against the wall, probably would have gotten more pleasure out of that. Self-inflicted pain, but I mean...
really, God bless all these people, but sometimes... If you want to argue about the relative merits of something, I'll be glad to do that all day. But don't disguise it as a question.
Yeah, and especially when they call me.
Right.
And, they're asking for advice. And normally I'll sit there and say, well, if you want to bring it in, we'll take a look. Oh, no. He asked right up front that he listens to the show and wanted to, it's like, well, then why don't you take my advice?
Right.
You want to listen to your friend, then fine, go. I just had to finally say, all right, well, tell you what. Let me know here's how you got to do it. He's still talking.
Right.
Wound up talking right on over him, gave him the steps, step by step. I says, all right, sir, try that out. Let me know how you'd make out. Thank you very much. Have a good day. Yep. And I hung up.
Yep.
And he was still talking.
Yep. Yep. I can't tell you how many times we see it.
You just have to say, my recommendation is, and then say whatever you think your solution is, and then go from there.
All righty, kiddies. It's over. Put your empty cocoa mugs in the sink. Get out of your footy jammies. Hang up your Gallagher splatter shields. And we're going to give Uncle Dave a shot, put him back on his shelf for another week. And in the meantime, while we do that, it's not easy. So we're going to take a quick break, back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Dennis Worcester, me, Nick Francesco, and I'm sorry for calling you Werther. It'll happen again. Get over it. On Soundbites. I'm member-supported. Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
This is station manager Rob Linton. Do you have a comment or suggestion for Jazz 90.1? Call our feedback phone today at 966-2407. That's 966-2407. Be heard at Jazz 90.1.
Celebrating 20 years on air, Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
The Pithide Room, Ship's Paradise, The Cotton Club, Shalimar, Jinx and Jones, Indigo's, Ben Keaton's, The Oak Tree Lounge, Top of the Plaza, Round Towner, The Pine Grill, The Glass Onion. Those are places that we all loved, but they're really not in the past. The doctor keeps them from being just a memory. Hi, I'm Paul Kiley. Join me every Monday morning from 1 a.m. to 6 a.m. following the Spectrum for Jazz Overnight on your member-supported 24-hour jazz station, Jazz 90.1 and Jazz901.org.
If your walls could talk, what would they say?
I have sent children into fits of rage.
I am responsible for a child's speech impediment.
I am the reason a child can't read.
Just because you can't see lead paint doesn't mean it's not on walls, doors, windows, and sills. Today, lead paint poisoning affects over 1 million children. If your home was built before 1978, log on to leadfreekids.org or call 800-424-LEAD.
Brought to you by the Coalition to End Childhood Lead Poisoning, EPA, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Jazz 90.1 is supported in part by our members and by Frontier Communications. Frontier Communications offers high-speed internet with the reliability and support you've come to expect from Frontier. For more information, you can visit www.frontiernet.net.
Hi, this is Charles Benoit. Join me and the entire Smart Set tonight from 5 to 6 right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Dennis Worcester.
And at 42 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. Okay, folks, here it comes. If you're the sort of person who ever uses passwords, this goes right along with your shirt. Dennis has a shirt on today that says, "What's the difference between a weak password and no password?" And the back says, "About 10 seconds.
No lie.
Yeah,
and it's actually more like about
that.
Two.
Yeah, like I said, it's an old shirt.
A well-known cryptographic attack could be used by hackers to log into web applications used by millions of users, according to two security experts who plan to discuss the issue at an upcoming security conference. Researchers Nate Lawson and Taylor Nelson said they've discovered a basic security flaw that affects dozens of open-source software libraries, including those used by software that implements the OAuth and OpenID standards that are used to check passwords and usernames when people log onto websites. OAuth and OpenID authentication are accepted by popular websites such as Twitter and Dig. They found that some versions of these login systems are vulnerable to what's known as a timing attack. Cryptographers have known about timing attacks for 25 years, but they're generally thought to be very hard to pull off over a network. The researchers aim to show that's not the case. The attacks are thought to be so difficult because they require very precise measurements. They crack passwords by measuring the time it takes for a computer to respond to a login request. On some login systems, the computer checks the password character one character at a time and kicks back a login failed message as soon as it spots a bad character in the password.
That's so, not always common, like on your existing PCs and Macs. You put that in, and after a certain period of time, if you've gotten it wrong three or four times, it'll successively take longer to respond on purpose.
Right. But in this case, so I put in a password ABCDE. It comes back immediately and says bad password.
Right.
You know the A is wrong. So you try BBCDE, and it takes a little bit longer, milliseconds longer to come back. You know
but
B is the first
there.
Letter.
Right.
Yep.
You know, so that's the way that works. So they keep trying to log in. And of course, websites don't generally block you after a certain amount of time. So they, by logging on again and again and again, cycling through characters, measuring the time it takes to respond, hackers can ultimately figure out the correct password.
So now that they know about this, and because it's an open source kind of thing, are they? I assume that
I'm sure the fixes are already in process.
They're being evaluated now, I'm sure.
And it's a real simple fix. All you do is, you know, wait until you've checked the whole password to respond.
Right.
Even if you know by the second letter that it's bad, you don't stop there. You just keep going until you've checked the whole password.
You be polite.
That's all it takes.
You just wait for them to finish. So just manners, really.
Right.
Just be polite. Wait for them to finish talking.
Polite. Exactly. I know it sounds very theoretical, but timing attacks have actually succeeded in the real world. 3 years ago, one was used to hack Microsoft Xbox 360 gaming system, and people who build smart cards have added timing attack protection for years. They plan to discuss their attacks at the Black Hat Conference later this month in Las Vegas. So what this tells us to do is to use multiple passwords. And because if you have a password for Twitter, which is vulnerable to this, and you use it for everything else, once they get one of your passwords, they get all of your passwords. So our question to you, do you use multiple passwords? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, or toll-free, 1-800-790-0415. And let me tell you right now, let me give my little mini rant here.
Here we go.
It's just a little one. I get people all the time who tell me, I can't remember multiple passwords. And what they're actually saying to you is, I'm stupid.
Well,
but then you turn around and you say, you can't remember multiple passwords. Huh, that's too bad. What
you
are the names
remember,
of your seven kids?
You can't remember.
And you remember all of those.
You can't remember passwords that are hard to remember, that you don't have any attachment to.
Right. And you really don't want passwords. Right. And you don't want passwords to be easy, because that's just as bad as no password. Weak passwords is as bad as no passwords. But again, you can add things together. You can put numbers in them. You can substitute numbers for letters. As long as you have a password that has some capitals, some lowercase, some numbers, many systems don't accept any sort of punctuation. But as long as you have upper and lowercase letters and numbers, and it's fairly long, you've got a pretty decent password.
Yeah, don't use dictionary words if you can avoid it.
Right.
What I usually tell my clients is come up with a phrase that describes you. If you're the kind of guy who likes to go out for ice cream, you could say, I like to eat Rocky Road ice cream twice a week. And you can take the first letter from each word, spell that, capitalize various points of it. Instead of two times, you can make that 2X, and put that in and use that. And then it becomes something that's unique to you that you can remember. And then you just tap it out with your fingers as you read to yourself each word.
Yep, and that's, I've been telling people that for the longest time. It's, you can get a fairly long password. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. 42. Right?
Sure.
And change all the I's to ones and capitalize the T's. And suddenly you've got a password that's hard to crack. And it's not difficult for you to remember. And you can even write down, you know, in a file somewhere that you copy, protect, that you protect, rather, Twitter, Tale of Two Cities.
Sure. Yep. I've heard about people who take their favorite phrase out of a book, like you were talking about.
Right.
Other people that just take one of their favorite phrases or song lyrics or anything else. But, yeah, the goal is to not make it easily guessable and to make sure that important things that you want to protect are well protected. One other place that I've read recently says that if you're dealing with multiple websites, that what you might consider doing is you have kind of your standard word or phrase that you like, and then you append something related to that. So Twitter might be your favorite password and then TWI at the end, or Facebook could be FAC at the end, so that each individual password is different. So if somebody gets your Facebook password, then they don't know anything else. But meanwhile, it's still easy for you to remember.
Right. There is also a technique called rainbow tables. And what they've done is what you were talking about before with the hashtag.
Right.
They've actually taken systems and figured out the Microsoft hash for every single combination of characters up to 14 letters.
Right. Well, yeah, they start with the dictionary file, which is a file with every single word in it, each on its own line. Then they run it through the algorithm and they get the scrambled bits at the end.
Right.
And then they start going with the less common things, where they start looking at AAAA and AAAAB.
Yeah, just all the and different. It doesn't take computers long to run through it. Milliseconds.
Computers are very, very good at repetitive, boring tasks. Mm-hmm. And they just buzz through lists and lists and lists. And they compose.
And we're not talking days. We're literally talking, you know, minutes, hours.
Yeah. Less than a day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then it just becomes a comparison, mm-hmm. where they have the hash somehow. Yeah. And they just compare it against what they know, and then they work backwards from there.
Yep. And so your password should be a minimum of 14 characters.
Well, a lot of places...
Well, but then think about it. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times, 42 is 14 characters.
Mm-hmm.
So add 4 to 3. It's 15 characters. Suddenly you're past the threshold. So you've got the ability to make very long, very complex passwords with very little thought.
Well, some places are even requiring that you use at least an uppercase and some numbers.
Yeah, more and more of our
more and more of them are getting to where, you know, they'll sit there and say, no, sorry, that's not good enough. Or they'll have a little meter on it telling you,
right.
rating your
weak
password.
Or strong.
Yeah. Yeah, weak, strong.
What really makes me crazy are the places that tell you this password is not acceptable, but don't tell you what you have to have an acceptable password.
It's 20 questions, right?
Yeah, exactly.
OS X is great because it has a tool in it called Keychain, and Keychain is a place where you keep track of all your passwords. It also recently has added the ability to generate passwords, and you can pick from a list, I need this to be memorable, or it needs to be this number of digits long, or you can type in a password that you like, and it will rate the security of it.
Right.
Oh, that's decent.
And then they'll store that for you, kind of like a one password style program will, so that all you have to remember is your main password on your machine. And that's cryptographically secure. If you
right.
change your user account or somebody breaks into your machine, if they can't unlock that, then all of those things go with you. I've had a number of clients that say, well, I've forgotten my Keychain password. And I'm like, well, then, you know, you're out of luck.
Yeah, you're really out of luck. But there's a program called KeePass.
Sure.
For all operating systems, and KeyPass X, it's called on Linux.
The other one for PC.
Does much the same thing, and what's nice about that is that it is cryptographically very, very secure.
Right.
So again, you're right. You only have to remember one password to get into that, and that'll tell you all your other passwords.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the other one that I use.
Yeah, I don't know. I really like KeyPass because the files are compatible across machines.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's decent.
So that's really... In fact, I have it for my Droid. And I just pulled the file over from my Linux box.
Okay.
And it comes up.
Hmm.
So I can, you know, if I'm out somewhere, I can, if I want to. And again, it's cryptographically, it's like 2048-bit is what I picked, I think.
That ought to do it.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, it's cryptographically very secure. Very secure, I say. You know, eventually they'll crack it with a watch. But, you know, not yet. Not yet, at least. Right now, it's fairly secure. So we'll see. It's... Yeah, you really need something like that. You know, writing your password on a post-it and putting it under your keyboard really doesn't cut it
and
anymore.
At an absolute minimum.
The places that I go to. I won't name names.
You're talking about your clients?
Yeah.
Okay.
That I can go to, and it's no lie. I can, one of them, I can open up the desk drawer. There's all the passwords. Or I had another one.
The people really hide them because you open up the desk drawer and it's on the inside wall. They think that's secure because nobody will look there.
As long as it's not
I had another
on
one.
The monitor, that's
you ready
best.
For this?
Yeah.
You know, he had all these Ferraris,
pictures,
and everything else on his wall. And, of course, it's his wallpaper.
Your only question at this point is it capitalized?
Yeah.
Exactly. I said, and he comes by, how'd you get into my computer? I pointed
Lucky
to the
guess.
Wall. He goes, oh, it's not too safe, is it? No.
Well, I once worked
at least it wasn't his wife's name.
Yeah. I once tempted a place, and I was in between jobs. I once tempted a place that I won't name, and they said, we need to update McAfee on all these systems, and they all went to lunch. And this was in the day when it was all Windows 95, so there was no central management. I knew everybody's username because they had a thing for that, but
right.
I didn't know anybody's password. Out of about 150 machines, there were two I couldn't get into by the second try.
Well,
in every single case, they either had it posted somewhere, or it was one guy had a Porsche, huge, gigantic Porsche poster on his wall. I tried Porsche. I didn't get in. I tried Porsche 911. I was in. Another one was two Snookums from Huggy Bear or whatever it was. Snookums didn't work. Huggy Bear did, you know, the picture on the desk. It was all over.
Some of them
that.
Are just a piece of cake or just type in one, hit enter, it goes in.
I've got the only ones that ever throw me are the guys that say, oh, I don't have a password. And they say, well, of course you have a password. He goes, no, I don't have one. And then it hits me. All you have to do is just click OK or continue.
Yeah. And
they physically assigned it with no password.
Well,
right.
I've told a story come in, and he had the mother convinced that there was no way, because he set himself up as administrator, and the mother was a little upset because, you know, she couldn't check on what he was doing and everything else. And she brought the machine in because she had two other kids, too. And he was more or less controlling the whole thing. That I got in there and removed all the passwords and put his mother as administrator and locked it down to even, they can't even turn the computer on without her password.
Yep.
Hmm.
And she goes, you can do that? I go, yeah.
Yeah, it's
easy. She goes, well, my son, I said, would you like me to do it? I did. So when they came to show up to get it, I said, all right, so-and-so, you're all set. The machine's been reset. You now, and I says, gave you the passwords. You got those in the email? Yep. Kids looking at me, what do you mean? I said, your mother's the administrator. Well, that's stupid. Why should she? She doesn't know how to do it. Excuse me, young man. Who's paying this bill?
Yeah, who's the real customer
here? He just sort of looks down. I says, and did you pay for this machine? Well, it's all of ours. I says, yes, and your mother is the one in charge of it. She is now the system administrator. You have any issues, you take it up with her. Because if you change it again, I've offered to have her bring it back in, and I will make it so you'll never get into it. I haven't seen him back, and this has been over 3 months now.
And this is the problem we see all the time. People will say to me, I don't know what to do. My son's done this and that and the other. I said, you go in, you make yourself the administrator, and I show them how to do it, and you make your children just users where they can't even install anything.
Yeah.
And that at least helps. And they all, well, I can't do that. It'll make him angry. It make him angry? He's 14 years old. He's angry until he's 20. He's already angry.
It's in the
You're
DNA.
Not changing anything.
Right. Well, you know, again, and it's right up there with the folks that get upset when you come into an office environment and, you know, you start taking stuff off their machines or locking them out of stuff. Hey, that's my machine.
No, actually it isn't.
That's
why we got to stop calling them personal computers.
Yeah.
If the company bought it, the company owns it. Get past that.
Well, it's the company that owns it, not the individual.
Right.
But the individual, well, that's my computer, and I got it set up the way I want. Well, good. You pay your boss for the time and the machine. I'm sure he'll let you have it. But until you do, you're on company time.
Yep.
Because I've had to go in now, and a lot of clients are getting worried because they're finding folks, you know, even on non-break times or, you know, lunch hour, they're surfing or IMing their friends, and they quick put it down on the desktop.
Sure.
And doing that type of stuff. And that's wasted money and, you know, and time and effort. So I've had to go in and lock a lot of stuff
out. I've always said the internet is an amplifier. It makes good employees better and bad employees worse, so you can fire them sooner. I never worry about somebody saying, you know, my people are playing.
I just can't control
them. Then fire them.
Yeah, it's not a technology problem. That's a management problem.
It's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
The same thing with my kid will get angry. That's a parenting problem. I don't solve those. I solve those with my own child. I don't solve them with yours.
But I love it when I can sit there, you know, and like I say, going back to that mother and kid, and that snot-nosed little kid, you know, he's sitting there thinking he's so smug, and here this older gentleman has just pulled something down on him and, you know, made him look like a fool in front of his mother and his little brother.
Which is worse.
You're right.
I didn't care. I did what they wanted me to. I fixed the computer. I got it up. I got it running. She was happier than a pig in mud because she now had control. She could, control what the kids even got into.
Right.
Because, you know, again, she said, and she was one of them that said, I listened to you a long time ago and I brought it down. I brought the computer down into the den. And she goes, yep. That has cut back a lot of stuff.
Sure.
So, you know, all my years of ranting on that finally paid off at least for one person.
Well, that's important. That's very important, yeah. It really is important, folks, to make sure that you, in fact, get your house in order. And that's really what it is. You know, if you've got your kids taking over the machine, maybe that's probably not the best for you or for them, really, in the long run. Listen, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Dennis Worster, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you. You've wasted an entire hour listening to Soundbites, but oh joy, there's an entire longer hour left for you to waste. So we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. You already know what that is, so let's say it all together out there in Radio Land. Soundbites, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Well done, everybody. Well done. Back in just a few minutes. Stay cool. We're very warm in here. You stay cool. We'll be right back.
It's America's longest running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Here's a tip to the wise for all you tech-savvy scenesters. One click will take you directly from the Jazz 90.1 website straight to the station's very popular Facebook and MySpace pages. Once there, you'll be privy to special announcements, exclusive contests, Jazz Insider info, everything to keep you hip to all the hip happenings at Jazz 90.1. So click on over to jazz901.org and help take Jazz even further.
America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, celebrating 20 years.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
Streaming online at jazz901.org.
Every day, you can help good things happen. Claudia, a local health worker in Nicaragua, helps save 6 children from pneumonia. Rosina in Bangladesh helps save 10 children from diarrhea. Aster in Ethiopia helps save 20 from malaria. And Salif and Molly help save 30 from the effects of malnutrition. Help one, save many. Visit goodgoes.org to find all the ways you can help the good go further. Brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council.
Listeners who listen on a regular basis may want to support Jazz 90.1 that way, too. If your budget is organized around monthly expenses, it may be more convenient to support Jazz 90.1 monthly as well. For example, a pledge of $10 a month would mean $120 a year in support. The payment amount you choose is automatically made each month directly from your credit or debit card. You can stop the monthly payment at any time, and we confirm each payment by email. For more information about the Jazz 90.1 monthly gift option, call 966-2660 or visit us online at www.jazz901.org. With the monthly gift option, it's easier than ever for you to become a member of Jazz 90.1.
When every moment matters and a life is saved, when someone gives blood, when a hand reaches out, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Down the street, across the country, around the world, you help save the day. Every day. You can help today. Support your local Red Cross.
When you like the music you hear on Jazz 90.1, you want it to continue to be there for you the next time you tune in. And that's exactly what happens when listeners become members of Jazz 90.1. Membership ensures that Jazz 90.1 can continue to bring you the jazz you love. You might even call membership a kind of music insurance. So if you enjoy the music on Jazz 90.1, make it a policy to become a member or renew your membership by calling 966-5299.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I am Dennis Worcester.
And at 3 minutes after the hour, we lurch haltingly into our second hour. Into our second hour of sound bites. And on the phone, we have Adrian. Where are you calling from, Adrian?
I'm calling from Victor right now, but I'm from Bergen, New York.
All right. Which would you prefer us to put down?
Bergen.
All right. It's a
deal. You got it.
What's your question?
I'm a new listener, and
welcome.
I never knew about this show, so I just want to say I'm a new fan. But there was a gentleman that had called.
Bear.
And, yes, Bear.
Right.
And he had a problem. And I'm pretty sure this is a common problem with Mac users.
Oh.
Not with the computer, just with the user.
Yeah. We got to clarify this.
Wait a minute.
So what seems to be, what can he do to fix it there, Adrian?
Well, I do know of an application that he could try to run.
Okay.
What's the name of it?
It's called iPhoto.
Oh, iPhoto. Well, yeah. That'll do the background change stuff, too?
I'm not
sure. Well, that
sure.
creates its own folder.
Right.
And that application, you know, you can choose the folder for that application to run.
Oh, I see. So you create a folder with iPhoto. It puts the photos in there. And then in the...
Oh, make an album.
Right. Yeah. And then in the wallpaper changer,
you say,
changer,
draw
you,
it from this
album. You pointed
album.
To that. That's not a bad thought. He should try that.
It's definitely worth troubleshooting.
Yeah,
excellent. Thank you, Adrian, and welcome.
And you know one other thing, though, we got to ask you to do, Adrian?
What?
Is tell a couple friends.
I will.
That you found us here on member-supported Jazz 90.1, and tell them to listen. We're here every Saturday from 12 to 2. And we've been doing this shtick for coming up on 21 years.
Coming up 21 years. You weren't even born yet, Adrian.
Nice. Well, thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, and welcome to the club. Our latest listener, Adrian, we're delighted to have you join.
Well, like I was telling you before, I had a friend, I told her to give a listen, but I didn't tell her that it was, because I told her it was a jazz show, so I think she's thinking that she was going to be listening to jazz, not computer talk.
Right.
She's trying to snap her fingers to the beat that we've got, but it's,
it ain't
going to
happen. She's got to listen on the other.
Okay, and for Dave's friend, do-do-do-ba-ba-ba.
Nice.
Okay, there we are.
That's
all you get. That's all the jazz you're going to get today. Or at least in this show. That's pretty much it. I will say, it's always delightful to hear from a new listener. We're delighted to see our audience growing. And we forgot to ask Adrian where he heard about us, or if he was just dial surfing and...
Just happened upon the number. More and more
folks, you know, the word is getting out, and, you know, friends are telling friends. You know, we're constantly, even in our shop, you know, my shop, and I know Steve's also, you know, folks are grabbing the stickers, the window decals.
Right. Sure.
That you can put on your window and, you know, say that you are a listener of Sound Bites.
Mm-hmm.
If you want one of those stickers, I welcome any of the folks that happen to be in the neighborhood. Stop over at my shop at 70 Empire Boulevard. That's Enright and Dairy PC Services, Inc. And we'd be glad to give you one of those stickers to put in your windows and display that you're a proud listener of Sound Bites.
Dave, I got a question.
Call 1-800.
People that come into your shop who might be parents and are concerned they want to block certain kinds of websites mm-hmm. that are just objectionable for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even going to get into details. Thinking about what kinds of software, or maybe, Nick, maybe you have some suggestions about what kinds of software or other tools you recommend. Clearly, we've talked about making sure a machine is in a common room in the house and not in the bedroom for kids. Okay. But if they had a specific piece of software that they could install and maybe configure themselves that was relatively easy or not terribly expensive, what would you guys recommend?
NetNanny
yep.
is one of the ones. It's available for both PCs yep. and Macs.
Okay.
Yep.
And it works pretty well, actually. I mean, you can always set up your own proxy server and all of that.
No,
it's a whole lot easier to just install NetNanny.
NetNanny is one of the easiest, and you know, the folks.
And let me cut everybody off at the pass. When you install NetNanny, give it a password that you don't use for anything else, and remember it.
Yeah. That would be good.
FYI, that was just Bear that called. Said he heard Adrian's recommendation. He said, thank you very much. He is so glad that he found our show. We'll be listening and calling again next week to let us know how he made out. Great.
Perfect. Excellent. That's what we love to hear.
We're two for two.
We love to have people call up and tell us that it actually succeeded. So Bear, if it didn't work, really call back and tell us it did.
Yeah.
No matter what happens, call back and tell us it did. Lie if you have to. Call back and tell us
it
worked great.
Makes us look better.
Hmm.
And NetNanny, by the way, you can get it at netnanny.com. NetNanny.com. And you can buy it. It's available for PCs and Macs.
Because, see, a lot of those...
I think it's available for little mobile phones, too, I think.
Because it goes on, and you don't know that it's there.
Right.
It doesn't put an icon on the desktop and all that other stuff. You've got to do a series of keystrokes,
mm-hmm.
the version I used to play with, and it would all of a sudden pop it up.
Yep.
But it was the administrator who put it on would know to do these goofy key sequence,
right?
And all of a sudden, it would pop up. That name, boop. You type in the password,
and then you're clear.
You're in, and you could get into the program. So it just more or less hides the icon that would normally be on the desktop.
Right.
That's all it's doing in stealth mode.
There is a version of NetNanny for smartphones, $30. It not only protects where you go; it protects email and text messages. So apparently, if you get a text message with a dirty word in it. I don't know if it cuts that word out. I didn't read the whole thing, but it either cuts that word out or...
the one that I saw, it creates a whole log?
Oh, no, it lets it through, but it notifies the parent.
Yes, it will. It creates a whole log. And because you can then go back to the child and say, excuse me, you were having this kind of conversation with these people? And the kids go, what do you mean? What are you eavesdropping? Hello? Until you're of legal age and out of this house, my rules.
That's right.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're a parent, you have two jobs, and I say this to my kids all the time. Your jobs are, number one, protect them,
yep.
and number two, teach them all the things that they need to know so that they can go live by themselves.
Yep.
So that when the day comes, they can move out and not come back.
Right, exactly. You know what? The reality,
they
and you got to remember this.
They still come back.
Too many, yeah,
not the way I'm doing it.
Too many parents want to be friends with their kids. I love my daughter, and we have lots and lots of fun together, and we play all the time. But the reality is she's got 1,000 friends and one dad, and I'm going to be the dad. And if I have to make a choice between being her friend and being her dad, I'm going to be the dad. That's the way it works.
Well, right?
That's the way it works. And NetNanny Mobile is available for Windows Mobile phones, BlackBerry RIMs, Symbian Series 60s, and all versions of Google's Android operating system.
There's a problem.
And no iPhones.
No, well, not only that, but a lot of kids don't have iPhones. They have the iPod Touch because they can buy that, and they don't have to be anybody. They don't have to sign up for a contract. They don't have to be a certain age. And as Dave can tell you, you can send a text message. My daughter, cover your ears for a minute, Katrina, but you can send text messages back and forth with an iPod Touch over Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm. They got that free program, free text.
Right. So,
and matter of fact, they even gave me they just had it so you could get your own personal phone number.
Ah.
I had to sign up for it, and they gave me a list of phone numbers that I could pick. So on my iTouch, which I don't use for texting very much.
Because I got it on the real phone.
I came from the dark side. Text on that all the time. But still, from time to time, I still use it.
Right.
And it's handy. I mean, I can text a lot faster on the iTouch. And it's like you say, it's free. And you can go so many places that there's free Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
But as a parent, if your child has a touch and is doing texting that way, is there an effective method to monitor that?
Well, it's not NetNanny, I'll tell you that.
There might be an app.
Short of not letting them use the iTouch, well, unless they're within your sight, right?
Yeah, no. Like I say, unless there's an app, there might be an app for that.
Yeah.
To, you know, guard what's going on there. But
if the listeners or the chat room knows of one, please let us know, because I'm a parent that, it's not that I'm trying to protect my kids, just like every parent.
There's so many other idiots out there that, you know, prey on other kids and everything else, and they, you know, fake who they are and, you know, all this other stuff. Yeah, it's scary. I mean, the information that's out there is overwhelming. I mean, you know, there's nothing nowadays. You just can't go over and type in Google and find an answer.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's just like, all right, my office manager, Sam, you know, get better soon there, young lady. She's in the hospital with pancreatitis.
Mm.
And we wanted to find out about that. Quick popped in pancreatitis. Boom.
Yeah.
Learned all about that and everything else. And it's like, whoa. You know, but that's the whole thing. There's a lot of great knowledge out there, but there's also stuff that can be used against kids and everything else, you know. And, you know, like you say, I'm just glad my two daughters are up and out.
Yep.
They've got their own kids that they've got to worry about. And personally, you know, I sit there and I still worry about them because, like I say, they're all sitting there. They got their phones now and they're texting me. Matter of fact, I am so glad I got this phone because my one
Now they actually talk to you?
Yeah.
You're back in the loop.
But wait a minute.
Way to go, Dave.
Yeah. But my grandson. Hold on a minute. I'll be right back.
Yep. So, yeah. I have to say, my daughter is the absolute best daughter I think any parent could have.
Except for mine, who's
and
on
I'm
power.
Sure the text messages she's throwing back and forth with miscellaneous people, I'm sure it's you know, what are you wearing to school tomorrow? And tried to look at my hair this way, and what do you think of Zac Efron? And all this other stuff that I really don't care about anyway. But I at least want the option to at least be notified in general what's going on and what's she into. And as I hear myself say those things, it's like obvious, duh, talk to your daughter, Dennis. I mean, but still keeping an eye on that, because clearly every father wants to protect their kids.
That's right. Well, I was going to say, I had to answer the phone there for a minute. My grandson, he's got, you know, we'll sit there and text back and forth, trying to, you know, normally when he's around, you know, blah, 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 he's very talkative.
Right.
So he'll sit there and text me, what are you doing, Grandpa? And I'll sit there and I'll, you know, right back. Oh.
Yeah, really?
That's all I get out of him.
At least you got that. But then you got that, and that's really what counts.
Won't tell you.
So what are you doing? Nothing.
Right. He just
wants to
be in communication with Grandpa.
Nothing.
And you know what? That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, no.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, better than not. Yep.
Oh, all yes. All right. Love it.
Yep. Our next caller is Lynn. Where are you calling from, Lynn?
Oh, the deep Southwest.
How deep?
Southwest New York. Climber.
Okay. Climber, New York.
Reason I was calling, I finally got a copy of DSL downloaded and on a disk, and now I haven't got a clue. I think what I want to do is use a frugal install, but I want to use the whole drive because it's only a 15 gig hard drive.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're talking about
the small Linux.
Small Linux. Okay.
Correct.
All right, I was bringing myself up to speed there.
Yep. Yeah, you could. Well, with a 15 gig hard drive, I think you could do a full install. But yeah, you can do. If you don't want that hard drive for anything else,
nope.
Go ahead and let it take over the whole hard drive. I'm pretty sure 15 gig is way more than DSL needs.
Oh yeah. It's got to be.
Go right ahead. Go for it. Knock yourself out.
What I can see in there, it sounds like I got to use a special format, and I got to format it into four or five partitions, and I don't know where to get these formats and what they really are. Apparently, I think it was FAT16, but I'm not positive.
You should, it's been a while since I used DSL. But you should be able to tell it, just use the hard drive and don't bother me. And it should format the entire hard drive. How much RAM do you have?
128
meg. DSL should fit fine. You might want to look at just using all the defaults. Oh, and Chris is saying the same thing. In the friend of the show, Chris Reich, saying the same thing in
chat
Chris. Room. Keep saying next, and let it do whatever it wants to do.
It must be I haven't followed the first one that says next.
Well, let you pick, take over the entire. I think the first question is, do you want to use the whole hard drive?
I haven't seen that, but
what is your first question?
That's the way Linux always that I have used always installed, and I've been hunting, and I just can't find it. Maybe it didn't download correctly. That's a possibility, I suppose.
Well, you should have downloaded an ISO.
Right.
Which you then burn to CD.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And then you boot with that CD.
Correct.
And what comes up?
It comes up DSL. It looks right. It looks like all the screenshots and everything, but it never gives me
a place
to install.
Is it a live CD that he got and not the installer?
Correct. And running from a live CD, it seems to be decent. And so I said, this machine, I got nothing else on it. Basically, it's a junk machine.
Okay.
And I'm doing it for fun.
Sure.
But it just doesn't give me that option. At least I haven't been able to find it. I've hunted through a whole bunch of different windows trying to find an option to allow me to install, and I never get there.
I wonder, is there more than one kind of ISO, Nick? That's what I'm
looking to see, because the one I downloaded, and I don't know that there's more than one, but the one I downloaded was the current version is 4.4.10.
Well, this is 3 something.
Oh, there you go.
Oh.
Yeah, you've got an older version. Download the latest one, which is as near as I can remember 4.4.10.
Yeah, start there.
And download the latest one, and it should run just fine, and it should allow you to install directly to the CD with a traditional hard drive install. As I remember, there's an icon right on the desktop in the 4 series where you just double click it and install. So give that a try and let us know. We're going to take a quick break. Back in
Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks,
back
Lynn.
In just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Dennis Worster, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1, turn your radio down. 2, turn your radio down lower. 3, remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4, make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5, calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6, if you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7, is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at Soundbites Go. Dave Enright and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
When you underwrite the programming of Jazz 90.1, you make your business known to people who enjoy jazz as much as you do. Your on-air message is short and tasteful, making it easy to remember, with basic information about your business, including how to reach you. Underwriting is economical, too. To find out more about underwriting Jazz 90.1, call 966-2660. That's 966-2660.
Helping you with your computer questions for over 20 years. Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Jazz 90.1 is supported by our members and Agape Physical Therapy. Agape Physical Therapy offers aquatic therapy at their Brockport location, the Gates Chalet Hidden Valley Pool, and the Webster Aquatic Center. Using the Bradenco method of using water as physical therapy, Agape provides shallow and deep water exercise areas for partial and non-weight-bearing activities. Agape Physical Therapy's experienced staff offers constant care in treating the young and the young at heart, non-athletes and athletes. For more information about Agape Physical Therapy, you may call 637-0790 or visit agapephysicaltherapy.com.
Jazz 90.1 is supported in part by our members and by Frontier Communications. Frontier Communications offers high-speed internet with the reliability and support you've come to expect from Frontier. For more information, you can visit www.frontiernet.net.
Hi, this is Olivia Fox. You know, there are tons of social networks on the web, but one stands apart for a very special reason. This one saves lives. It's MatchingDonors.com. MatchingDonors.com links organ donors with people in need of kidney and other transplants. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. If you've ever considered becoming a living donor, or if you are someone in need of an organ transplant, visit MatchingDonors.com. MatchingDonors.com.
Hi, this is Otto Bruno, inviting you to a musical party this and every week on the Sunday Music Festa and the Otto Show. Our guests may include Frank Sinatra, Tony Bennett, Bing Crosby, Rosemary Clooney, or who knows, maybe even Count Basie or Joe Williams, Bobby Darin. Lady Ella herself could stop by. It's a musical celebration every week on the Sunday Music Festa and the Otto Show. That's Sundays at 12 noon right here on Jazz 90.1.
AT&T.
Hey, this is Rip Savage. Join me tonight for Fusion, 10 p.m. right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Dennis Worster.
And at 23 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Hey, Apple iPad OS update. As operating system upgrades go, Apple's iOS 3.2.1 patch. iOS is a trademark of Cisco Systems. For the iPad, may not break new ground, but it does fix a few nagging problems, most notably a Wi-Fi connectivity issue reported by many iPad users. The update also adds Microsoft's Bing as an option for Safari's search field, although Google Search remains the default choice. According to the Apple support site, iOS 3.2.1 also fixes a glitch that could prevent a copy-paste of a single-page PDF attachment in Mail, a bug that could cause video playback to freeze, and reliability of video out when using the iPod dock connector to VGA adapter. The big news, however, is the wireless patch. Apple's iOS 3.2.1, trademark of Cisco Systems. Announcement simply says the update delivers improved Wi-Fi connectivity, but doesn't go into any detail. Soon after the first iPad shipped, many users began griping about weak Wi-Fi signals, slow downloads, and dropped connections. Well, you can't hold it like that. The Bing announcement is yet another
two hands
of Apple's troubled relationship with Google. Although the extra search tool is certainly good news for iPad users. Even if you're not a regular Bing user, another web query choice can't hurt. Apple in June announced that Bing would be a secondary search option on the iPhone, so the Bing iPad marriage is not unexpected. The iPad iOS 3.2.1 update is available via iTunes. So our question to you, looking forward to that iPad iOS update, did you install it already? What do you think? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, or, of course, toll-free 1-800-790-0415, or you can join us on the IRC chat at Pound Soundbites or Octothorpe Soundbites, if you prefer.
Yeah, I downloaded that update. What they don't tell you in that press release is that the update is 400 and some odd megs, 425 megs or so. And I'm thinking to myself, That is a ridiculously large update. It's not just like a patch.
They updated the whole thing.
It's a major revision.
And they're just re-imaging the OS onto the device.
So you may want to not do that through AT&T.
Well, yeah, you can't do that over 3G. You have to pull that down to your computer through iTunes, and then you sync it with a cable.
Oh, right.
Yep. So it's not too
bad.
Makes sense. If you've got high-speed internet, it's not too big a deal. I was just surprised to see that it was that large. Because for a little while...
You can't do it directly through doesn't iTunes come on the iPad as well?
It does. You can update your apps through the App Store on the iPad, but I don't think you can update the OS itself. If anybody knows different, mention it to us in the chat room or give us a call. I think you have to go through iTunes to get it.
Huh.
Hmm.
I say, huh.
That's special.
It is different.
But I do love my iPad so far. I've had it for about 3 weeks now. It's a fantastic device for me and what I do. Got the model with the 3G service, so I can use it just wherever I happen to be. Like I mentioned, I painfully left it with my wife in Pennsylvania, I'm doing the best I can to live without it.
I hope your wife is listening, because if you are, you should know if you're using the Wi-Fi right now, you're probably accumulating a lot of roaming charges.
There's no Wi-Fi where she is, but the 3G service has got 5 bars. We've got the unlimited plan. Luckily, I got grandfathered into that.
Oh, very nice.
But if I don't know, I don't have a nice bed that we can lay down for my own kind of rant. But if I could have just a moment, guys, I'll.
All right, kitties, grab your socks and drop your rocks.
I got it.
Nice.
It's time for Story Hour with Uncle Dennis. Uncle Dennis?
Yeah, I'm going to try and keep this short. I absolutely love my iPad. I do.
But. I knew that. I heard the but right there in the middle of my love
voice.
My iPad.
It's this relationship with AT&T. And every time I think about Apple and their relationship with AT&T, I shake my head. It's been kind of a troublesome thing. So AT&T, when Apple was getting ready to announce the iPad in January, they said, oh, we're going to make two versions. We're going to make one that works with Wi-Fi and only Wi-Fi, and that's going to be the less expensive model. And then we're going to make another one that has all the same features, but also lets you connect to the 3G wireless network that happens to be in around most major cities and most of the population in the U.S., and you can use 3G data speeds with it. And I said, oh, that's kind of cool. And then they said, but it gets better. We're going to offer different plans with different rates per month. And I said, okay, even better. It's tiered pricing, which usually I'm against, but in this case it seemed all right. And they said, but it gets even better. And I said, oh really, what do you got? Well, we're gonna not lock you into a contract. We're gonna let you go month to month. So if you'd say, well, I want 3G service in July, but I know I won't need it in August, you just don't subscribe to it in August. And if you'd say, well, I need it in September, you can turn it off and turn it on, kind of like a faucet. And so I said, oh well, I'm all in. Let's order this thing. I'm ready to go. So it comes, and between the time that I ordered it and when I received it, because there was a 3-week waiting period because they were just ridiculously popular, what happened was AT&T changed their plan.
Yeah.
They changed their rules.
Yeah, so, there's a surprise.
Yeah, so here's the rub. So it works like this now. You can be in the unlimited plan if you ordered before such and such a date. And like I mentioned, I got grandfathered into that, so I was all set there. But if you decide that you want to turn off the data for a period of time and then come back, you can only subscribe to whatever plans they currently have available. And right now,
when you come back,
and right now the unlimited plan is not available when you come back. So
wow,
yeah.
Ooh.
So I can
major rub.
So there are two incompatible features of this iPad that was announced in January. You can pay $30 a month forever if you want to retain your unlimited plan, or you can turn it off and turn it on. Those are two features, and now they're completely incompatible with each other.
Right.
So I did what any sane Apple person would do. I emailed Steve Jobs.
Of course you did.
Yeah. So I said, well, you know, what's the worst that could happen? So I threw a quick 2-paragraph email, and I said, Steve, here's what you said in January. By the way, I love my iPad, but I've got this beef with AT&T. You know, I said, what is your opinion of this issue? And I get a... about, what, 45 minutes later, I get a response back from Steve, which I wasn't expecting.
Right.
It was kind of neat.
Yeah.
For somebody who has Steve's email.
Yeah.
So I get a response back, and it's just a one-line thing, which is kind of his MO lately. It's just to give a one-line response to people who email him. It said, it's between you and ATT, sent for my iPhone.
Yep.
And I said, ouch. So he's backing away from that. You know, it's... It's something that that he promoted. So, but the thing with AT&T is, if you try and send more than two or more than one email to their CEO, they send you a C&D, a cease and desist order.
Yeah,
that says stop calling us because they consider it, I guess, harassment or something.
Because
so that's my rant, people. That's why I'm frustrated with AT&T. Love the iPad, but wish AT&T would get their head out of the
place.
All
right, kiddies, put down those beers. We're gonna stuff Uncle Dennis back in a box. What's that? I don't know. I don't know where it's going.
Where are we going with that?
Honestly, I'm waiting for the Android tablets to come out.
Yeah, there are a few, I think.
There are a few. Right now, most of them are overseas. I don't see them here in America yet. But they're the ones I've seen. There's a 10-inch tablet, the equivalent of $100 American.
That's amazing. So what's the monthly
on that? That's impulse buy. It's Wi-Fi.
Oh, okay.
That's impulse buy.
Yeah, I mean, that's cheaper than a Nintendo DS.
Well, my point. And so for, you know, to get something the size of an iPad that runs the Android operating system, Wi-Fi only, for $100.
Sure.
How do you say no to that?
That's 20% of what Apple's comparable cost is.
How do you say no to that? And I think that when those start coming out, probably in time, here in America, in time for Christmas, right?
Well, probably.
You're going to see a lot of people pick them up. And right now, you know, the deal is that at this moment, even with the introduction of the Phone 4,
right?
Google is selling more phones. Android is selling more phones per day than Apple because there are so many different models. Apple is selling about 160,000 a day, and if you break down Apple's numbers, they're selling about 110,000.
Okay.
A day. So right now, and it's the
so
it's
Android
history
is growing
repeating itself.
much faster right now.
Yeah, it's history repeating itself. I won't argue whether or not Apple is a better product. It's certainly a shinier double rainbow kind of product.
Probably better commercials, maybe.
But just like with the actual computers, Microsoft won because they were ubiquitous and cheaper. And I think Google is going to win because it's ubiquitous and cheaper. If you're looking to buy something for your family and you get a choice between a $500 iPad and a $100 Android tablet, whatever they're going to call this particular model, and you got two kids, hello?
Yeah. Yeah, as long as all the other things stack up that you care about, like the screen is decent and the apps are there and the battery life is good.
And that's the other thing. And I get it. Steve Jobs wants everything to be perfect. People are willing to settle for good enough for a lower price.
For a lower price, yeah.
So if the screen's not quite as good as Apple, and I have different set of the same apps, basically, and it maybe isn't as the fit and finish isn't quite as magnificent as the Apple.
But at $100.
But it's only $100.
It's essentially almost, I don't want to say disposable, but it's pretty close.
It is.
Well, and right, for people like us, it is disposable.
It is.
If I get a year out of it and have to throw it away, I'm really not going to whine.
Or if it gets stolen.
Or if
the dog chews on it.
Right. But for $600, I don't know that I'm ever going to take it out of the box. You know, but for $100, I'll use it all day, every day, and it gets a little bang, it gets a little scratch. I don't care. I don't care.
Just as another FYI.
Yeah.
Bear called, said it worked. Thank you very
much.
Nice.
We not only want to thank Bear for calling and indeed continuing to listen in, but also to Adrian, who had the answer. Well done, you.
Okay.
Well done, Adrian. Thank you.
So officially the answer was, if you're having trouble with your desktop pictures not going through the motions of changing themselves, see if you can go into iPhoto, make an album of those pictures, and then tell the desktop pattern switcher to make use of that particular album.
And when iPhotos makes the desktop folder, I'll guarantee you it changes the format to something.
Could be.
And that's what fixes it. Yep.
Hmm.
All right, our next caller is, this must be Sal, because the other choice is not acceptable. Sal, where are you calling from?
Fairport.
That's what I wrote.
No, you wrote SAC.
Uh-oh. No, S-A-L.
That's S-A-C.
No, that's S-A-L.
boys.
All right. Remember, where'd you say you were calling from, Sal?
I control the board.
Fairport.
I control your mic.
I know.
Thanks
you control
for calling,
the
Sal.
Horizontal and the vertical. Right. What can we do for you, Sal?
on your discussion about you know, being ubiquitous and everyone's going to take over with PCs, and then so where does that fall in with the argument with iPods? Because iPods came in and they were the most, probably the priciest product out there.
Yep.
And they were only on the Mac side. Yes, they went to Windows, but that kind of negates every argument you just put forth as far as being, you know, very highly priced. You want a $100 or low knockoff of an iPad, and you think that's going to take over?
Well, there were MP3 players before the iPod. The iPod, the original one, was, what, $400 or $500? It was only gigs long.
$500, I bought one.
Yeah, I remember when I saw it, and I said, wow, that's a pretty expensive toy.
Here's the difference. There hasn't been a product that works the same way as an iPod. There are other MP3 players, but they don't work in quite the same way. With the iPhone and iPad, Android is very, very similar.
Yeah, you're forgetting that it's not just the Android as far as being equivalent to the iOS 4.
Right.
It's Android in maybe, what, 20, 30 different varieties and 50 different types of phones, and some work one way, some work another. You get a user out there and you put all those phones in front, they're going to get lost in about a minute and a half.
Yeah, but yes and no. I mean, choice is not necessarily good. I get that. So a lot of people don't like choice. But a lot of people do. And for the people who don't like choice, they'll pay for an iPhone. And for the people who do like choice, they'll get the other thing. There's enough room in this world for both. You know, I can't get excited about somebody saying, there's too much choice. For some people, too much choice is not enough choice. Still. So the ability to choose is what makes America great.
Oh, that's true. And that's why people on the Mac, they choose to be on the Mac versus having to use a Windows, because that's all there is.
Right. 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 And that's true. Right. It's true in both directions. If the only kind of computer you can buy is a Windows computer, you don't have a lot of choice.
Right.
The only kind of MP3 player you can buy is an iPod, then you don't really have a lot of choice. And so that's what I like about choice. I chose to stay with Verizon, and therefore I chose the Android phone. And because I like Android, I like the operating system. See, I'm one of those people who uses it before I make the decision. I used an iPod Touch. I have one of those. I loved it, but I never pick it up anymore because I now have one device that does everything my iPod Touch did. And oh, by the way, it's also my phone.
Oh, I know. Well, I chose to get away from AT&T because I picked up an iPhone and I dropped the Palm. I dropped, Razor phone I had, and put it all together because that's iPod too.
Right, and it's the same idea. So everybody gets a choice. And I know you're not one of these people, but I would like to address those people who think if you say something nice about a different thing, then you're dissing the I whatever. Just because I like the Android doesn't mean I hate the iPhone. I don't hate the iPhone. I think the iPhone is a phenomenal piece of equipment. Just, it's not for me. And I'm an American, and so I get to choose.
Oh, sure.
And that's the deal.
You're choosing the network first because you find that that's what works for you, and then you're finding the best phone that fits in that network.
Well, yes and no. That's what originally led me to the Android, but now I wouldn't switch. I truly wouldn't switch. I love the things I can do with the Android. I love it. The only thing that I would miss if I had to miss it would be iTunes, but I get so many other choices for music that it doesn't factor in even a little bit. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Dennis Worster, me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you in the longest running computer show in the known universe. Sound bites right here on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Got a computer question? Call the boys now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free 800-790-0415. Online at soundbites.org. Soundbites continues next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, the answer to your computer questions on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
I love jazz, so I spend an outrageous amount of time listening to Jazz 90.1. It's my way to stay in the loop with the local jazz scene and the local musicians. And I love the specialty programs. They're programs that I cannot find anywhere else.
With Jazz 90.1's Facebook and MySpace pages, I can listen in and stay tuned in with the local jazz scene from my computer and my phone, too. I jump in on the exclusive contests and chat up with people who believe in the music. You can, too. Visit jazz901.org and click on the icons to visit Jazz 90.1's Facebook and MySpace pages. That's how I take jazz further, with Jazz 90.1.
Jazz 90.1 apparel is available online. Whether it's a long or short sleeve t-shirt, half zip fleece, hooded sweatshirt, or baseball cap that you're looking for, you'll find it at the Jazz 90.1 online store at jazz901.org.
When I was a kid, when I was listening to the radio all the time, it was like a portal to the world for me. You know, I grew up in a small town in Georgia, and you know, it's like a connection to the outside world. You know, it was a special thing.
New artist Tim Brantley loves radio because it connects every day. Radio, always on, always free, always something new. Go to radioheardhere.com.
I want to finish
school
and then go to
college
to be able to
graduate
and have
the future
my parents couldn't have, because I know that
going to college
is the best thing I can do for my
future.
The words of a parent help to build the future of a child. The Hispanic Scholarship Fund has the information to help your kids go to college. Visit yourwordstoday.org or call 1-877-HSF-8711. Sponsored by the Hispanic Scholarship Fund and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Otto Bruno inviting you to join me every Sunday afternoon at 3:30 for my new show, Sinatra and Company.
I have got you under my skin.
I'll feature the music of Frank Sinatra as well as those with whom Frank worked and played. Artists like Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., Count Basie, Rosemary Clooney, and many more. So join in the fun with Sinatra and Company every Sunday afternoon at 3:30 right here on Jazz 90.1.
I would sacrifice anything.
Hi, this is Sid O'Connor. Join me Sunday mornings from 7 until noon right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
And I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Dennis Worster.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And on the phone, we have Ed. Where are you calling from, Ed?
Gates, New York.
Gates, New York. And what can we do for you?
Well, I got a computer program, or I got a computer game that I got from my computer a couple years ago by Cosme. And I can get it to, download the Las Vegas slots portion, okay, but then when I go to try to load the just the plain slots, it's like a two-part program. I get exception point and locks everything up, and I get a small black screen on the front of the computer.
Okay, question is one, is this a brand new machine?
No, this machine is it's a compact I've had since 2004.
Yeah, and what's the name of the program again?
It's called Las Vegas Slots by Cosme.
So you had it running on this machine before?
Yeah, I had it running here and run the casino part, you know, mm-hmm. with Cabaret on there. It's got the roulette, it's got Bearcat and a couple other games on it, and it's got poker game on that. But then when I go to do the other one, it doesn't do that. I went in there and I muckied around with the direct, got all the files, so I don't know. I tried another disc from my brother. He's got the same program, and I get the same results.
You've got one of two problems. As near as I can think. Well, it could be the one I think it is defective RAM. So it's trying to load this bit, and it's trying to load it into a specific place in memory, and either it's a video memory problem or a regular RAM problem. If it's that, you need to have the machine looked at.
Oh, okay.
The other thing is you might, well, I don't really.
Yeah,
I was thinking it would be the problem on the other end, Kazumi's problem. But if your brother can work the program on his machine,
yeah, I think he did work on his machine.
If it worked on his machine, then the problem is your machine, and I would suggest that you definitely get it checked out. Get somebody to look at the memory on that machine, because it sounds, there's a program you can download called mem86.com, called mem86.
Memtest
86.
Right.
At memtest86.com, and do it yourself, but it really takes 24 to 48 hours of running that program to really get a result, and then you got to know enough to know what's going on. It's not really designed for the average end user.
But even if some of the memory happens to be bad,
I get this one thing that comes up. It keeps talking about my direct draw or something. Something about that. It keeps making reference to that all the time.
Well, it may be that your direct draw is too new. It may be that a program that's, 6 years old now
might be
might not be able to run with the newer versions of the direct software.
Have you gone to the website to see if there's any updates for that particular program?
That's another problem. At this time, I can't get on the website because I'm not able to get on the internet. So I go downstairs to get on the computer at the apartment. But that
wait a minute, that machine will no longer get on the internet?
Well, no, I don't have access to it. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
I was thinking maybe, you know, I could get maybe some new drivers or something. Maybe that's what the problem is.
Well, a couple of things. If you're trying the same download that you downloaded a dozen times and it's not working, it may well be that it was just a bad download. So you need to get that machine back on the internet, whether you bring it to your friend's house and plug it in there or however you want to do it.
Or take it upstairs.
Or take it upstairs or downstairs, wherever that is, and try it that way to get on the internet to see if you can download a proper version of the software. It may have been just a bad download. But that's a separate problem, and it really you should solve the internet access first. And then work on the slots problem, because it just might be a bad download. Download it again, and it'll work every time.
Might be.
Huh. Okie doke?
Okay, I got you.
Give that a try. Let us know what happens, Ed. Thanks.
I say it's hard to tell, you know.
Yeah, and really when machines, you know, when you have a program that relies on files from the internet and you can't get to the internet, it's tough to diagnose until you can get back on the internet. Mm-hmm. It may well be that it's looking for something on the net to prove, for example, it's looking to verify his code.
Yeah, verification
right.
or, you know,
right. and so
confirmation.
It can't get, right. So it can't get back to the net, and so it says, I'm sorry, you can't play
and
anymore.
And if it was connected originally,
it would have worked.
It would have worked, and, you know, it would have been all set.
Right. So, yeah, you need to figure out how to get back on the net before you can really solve this problem, because too many variables. Too many variables. We see that often enough.
Yep, it's true.
Hey, if you're an Xbox Live game show player, you've got a problem. Microsoft just pulled the plug on their Xbox Live game show, One Versus 100. If you missed it, One Versus 100 was a trivia show in which one contestant would try to outlast a mob of 100 others, each of whom faced elimination with wrong answers. Players who weren't competing could still answer questions from the sidelines with a chance to rotate into the main game. Semi-weekly live shows hosted by comedian Chris Cashman, never heard of Chris Cashman, offered prizes to winners. The game was included with an Xbox Live Gold subscription. At one point attracted more than 60,000 players to the live show. Microsoft didn't say why it canned the show, only noting that the development team will move on to other projects. It's rumored that the original One Versus 100 television show, hosted by Bob Saget for 2 seasons on NBC, could return, so maybe that was the problem.
They were just chasing Bob Saget. They were all Bob Saget fans.
Yeah, exactly. Have you ever heard Bob Saget live?
I've heard that his live shows are completely different than Full House or America's Funniest Home Videos.
He is possibly the filthiest comedian. Funny? Funny, funny man, but possibly the filthiest comedian
I have ever heard. And when I saw The Aristocrats, and I saw him, my chin hit the floor. I was like, this
was
is Bob Saget.
His was the worst.
Because I grew up watching America's Funniest Home Videos for years and years, watched Full House in the 90s, and then I see him, and here we are.
All right, we've got, did we have somebody on the line?
No. That was just that gentleman calling back again saying, that program is back from 2004.
Oh. Yeah, that's what he said the first time. So it's a six-year-old program, and it may need older versions of the drivers.
Right.
And certainly, if he needs to be on the internet, if it's
or if he's at least running Windows XP,
right.
Service Pack 3, go out and get another game. I mean, the slot machine games and everything else nowadays, you can get them for $20.
Right.
I mean, you do a Google search. There's so many out there nowadays. You know.
And I'm sure there's an upgrade for that program if the company still
exists. Matter of fact, there's stuff, you know, if he did get that one hooked up to the web, there's a lot of free places that you can go and play slots and all that other type of
online
stuff.
Online poker and things like that.
Yeah, online poker and that type of stuff and play them with other folks.
But I have never allowed myself to play online poker because I would never again
we'd
leave
never
the
see
house.
You.
I don't play poker, so.
If you've got Windows XP, though, you want to make sure to get SP3, Service Pack 3, because they've announced this week that they're not doing security updates for
two
Service
anymore.
Pack 2 anymore. So.
Right. Yeah, we announced that on last week's show. Yeah. People were, you know, I got a lot of calls during the week. What do you mean Microsoft isn't supporting Windows anymore? No.
Again,
no.
Selective hearing.
Windows XP Service Pack 2. If you have Service Pack 3, you're all right. They're going to support that. They, what did they just say? 2014, something along that line. So you've got plenty of time to use a 15-year-old operating system.
To save up for your next computer. Yes.
Right. So, yeah, there's a whole lot of life left in XP, although Microsoft truly would love to have it just go away.
It'd be easier for them to just buy everyone a new computer. At some point.
In the long run, it would be cheaper. Maybe that's what some of them are holding out for.
One time, they were talking about cutting off support in general for XP.
They were going to cut support off.
Came back, right?
Well, and part of the reason is that so many of their...
The corporate stuff, usually.
Right, and so many other of the people who write the third-party apps were simply... Vista didn't work at all, so they kind of had to extend through Vista.
Right.
Because so many programs never worked with Vista.
Vista is this close to me going off the edge.
I know. And did you hear Steve Jobs? Oh, no. Ballmer. Was it Ballmer? Yeah, or Ballmer, I think it was. Who said, iPhone 4 is their Vista. I thought we had...
Slam dunk. Whoosh.
Wow.
At least he didn't take him back to ME.
Yeah, right. right. So that's, you know, people want, Microsoft needs you to upgrade to.
They had their kin that lasted for, what, 60 days, Microsoft?
How sad is that?
And then they had to pull the plug?
How sad is that?
Glass houses, Mr. Ballmer.
That's exactly right.
Boy,
that's
we
exactly
could have
right.
one heck of a bonfire with all this. Windows ME and Vista CDs packaging.
Yeah. Yeah, the problem is it's all plastic, so it would be illegal.
Well,
every...
then there we do skeet shooting.
That's exactly right.
Take it down to a skeet shooting
pole.
Pole.
Been there, done that. I have a friend who is a gunsmith, and he has his own range. And
your frustration's out in blowing up Vista or ME.
And we've done that.
Ooh, now that would be fun.
Yeah. I've told him, I said, you should be charging money for this.
Plastic would even be better. Blow it up.
Yeah, right.
I had more fun when I was in the Marine Corps. We got to sit there and use the explosives and that and blowing stuff up. That was fun.
Okay.
Yeah, but when you were in the Marine Corps, they were buying explosives from the Chinese.
Jeez.
There was a guy who was actually offering people to bring down electronics and blow them apart with shotguns on his range.
Okay.
And he said, I did it as a joke. One Saturday afternoon during, you know, the times that usually were not very busy or whatever. And he said people came down by the hundreds.
Wow.
And now it's become an event once a month. People keep all their old electronic devices.
Sure.
The ones that are broken, and they bring them down. It's a very cool idea, actually. I'll tell you what, the ability to take that machine that caused you so much frustration and eventually died and you had to buy a new one, to take that down, get it in your sights, and blow the living whatever out of it, there's something attractive about that, I will say.
Yeah, you know, it's the old Gallagher sledge-o-matic where you can just just take a sledge to it.
Uh-oh. Is it possible that that's our ending music?
That'd be it for another great
week. Holy mother of pearl. Well, folks, you've once again wasted two entire hours of your life listening to this radio show. Really, seriously, you people need to get out more, although maybe not necessarily in this weather. It is the hottest, so far at least the hottest July on record ever. And so we'd like to thank you for spending it hopefully indoors in the cool with the lemonade of your choice. And we're done for another week. I want to thank Dennis Worcester, who was kind enough to come in and... and substitute for Steve Ray. I want to thank Dave Enright, who didn't cut me off when I was rude to him, and he's the guy on the controls. I'm Nick Francesco. We're Soundbites. You're listening to Member Supported Jazz 90.1. See you next week. Have a great week, everybody.